This message from God's Word is being brought to you by Brother Cody Boston at the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. He brings us a follow-up message about the teacher and Nicodemus. And now, Brother Boston.
This morning, we talked about Jesus, the master teacher. We discussed different methods that Jesus used when it came to teaching individuals about how to live. One method that he used was sermons, and we talked about a few examples of those sermons that we have in his word, and it was obviously a very effective method for him. We also talked about the fact that he was a master conversationalist. He could turn every conversation into something spiritual. Sometimes when we try to do that, people start to throw out the you're holier than thou comment. But I think that Jesus gives us an example that we can find ways to turn conversations into a spiritual conversation. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And so we as Christians need to look for those opportunities. Jesus not only taught in sermon and in conversation, but he taught in the midst of conflicts. There were several that tried to disprove him, that tried to talk of him erroneously, and Jesus took those opportunities. Instead of just constantly battling these people, he would try to tell them the truth. He would ask them questions in return, answer a question with a question. And Jesus, he would use these opportunities of conflict for opportunities once again to teach. We talked about the fact that Jesus used parables. And we talked about a few of those parables, none in detail, but specific parables that we know, we've heard a lot about. And he was very good at taking those parables, those earthly stories that related in some way to daily activities or lifestyles or professions, and then using those to connect how it, or what it means, or how we can live for God and live in a way that we're seeking the kingdom. And so Jesus took every opportunity he could to try to teach people more about God and his kingdom. And he also, we mainly focused this morning, though, on the example that Jesus set. And we talked in a bunch of ways about some of the examples that he set, because Jesus didn't just tell us to do things. Whatever he told us to do, he did. And that's why it's so powerful. We can't go to people and tell them to do things if we're not doing them ourselves. So this evening, as we look at this, I want to read you. I read this morning a story about a little child that was asked to pray at dinner, and his mommy told him to repeat whatever she would say, and she said, you know, why on earth did I invite all these people over for dinner? So I want to share a few more questions with you that I found from kids. 3-year-old Reese says, "Our Father who does art in heaven, Harold is his name. Amen." A little boy was overheard praying, "Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time like I am." After the christening of his baby brother in church, Jason sobbed all the way home in the back seat of the car. His father asked him 3 times what was wrong. Finally, the boy replied, "That preacher said he wanted us brought up in a Christian home, and I wanted to stay with you guys." One particular 4-year-old prayed, "And forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." A Sunday school teacher asked her children as they were on the way to church service, "And why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" One bright little girl replied, "Because people are sleeping." I know, right? And then the final one I have that you have not heard is, a father was at the beach with his children when the 4-year-old son ran up to him, grabbed his hand, and led him to the shore where a seagull lay dead in the sand. "Daddy, what happened to him?" the son asked. "Well, he died and went to heaven," the dad replied. The boy thought a moment and then said, "Did God throw him back down?" Kids sometimes say a lot of the funniest things. They ask a lot of questions. When I think about kids, I think about the fact that they're constantly asking questions. Their favorite question is the word "why." You know, and as soon as you respond to that, they say, "Why again?" And so they can continue that process by just continually saying "why." But kids are constantly seeking how to, or what the answer is to questions. And then they try to mimic the example that's set before them. As Christians, we can look at what Jesus did for us and the example that he set and the ways that he taught that we find in Scripture, and we can be like children in the fact that we continuously seek answers within those sermons, within those conversations, within the conflicts that Jesus faced, within the parables that he taught, within the examples that he specifically set. Jesus has laid all this out there for us, and we, like children, need to be seeking answers. I'm afraid sometimes that as we get older, we stop caring about learning more. We stop caring about increasing in knowledge, especially in the Bible. And so we need to constantly be seeking answers, finding those answers out. And so this evening, I just want us to read a few verses from John chapter 3, because we're going to go to God, we're going to go to Christ and His words, and ask the question, Lord, you know, how do I get to heaven? We answered that question a few weeks ago when we talked about Jesus is the way. But specifically tonight, one of the conversations that Jesus had, a teaching moment for Jesus, was in John 3 with a man by the name of Nicodemus. So let's read this together, and then we'll talk about the application. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So Nicodemus, right up front, calls him a teacher. Jesus answered in verse 3 and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, and he calls him a teacher. He says, I know that you're the Son of God because nobody else can do the things that you've been doing. And Jesus answered him and said, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one's born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Jesus immediately turns the conversation over into, let's talk about your soul. You just confessed that you believe I'm really the Son of God, so let me tell you a little bit about what that means for you. And he says, Nicodemus says, you have to be the Son of God. And then Jesus says, well, one can't go to heaven unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Well, I'm not telling you, the next time your friend says, do you want to go eat at Applebee's? You say, well, somebody can't go to heaven unless they're baptized. But what we have to understand is there are opportunities for us to turn these conversations into a spiritual application, into spiritual ones. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus to be born again. And Nicodemus, like all of us, we're asking the questions, but we're still thinking physically. We're still thinking about this earth. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about heaven. And so when I give you this answer of being born again, I'm not saying that you have another physical birth. But I'm talking about you dying to yourself and being born a new person, somebody that's different. You're different because now you're somebody that's going to live for God. You're different because now you have my blood washing you. Jesus took every moment he could to teach because he knew he didn't have very long to teach. We as Christians don't know how long we will live, but we should look at every opportunity, every breath we take as a moment by which we have a chance to talk to somebody else about our Savior. There's so many people out there looking for answers to questions, and they don't even know what the questions are, honestly. They know some of the questions, but in their mind, they're like Nicodemus, and they're thinking physically. In their mind, they're like Peter and the apostles a lot of times when they could not stop thinking about the physical life. They need to be guided to the spiritual source of life. This evening, I challenge us every day to never stop asking questions, but to always go to the Bible for the answers to those questions. The Bible has all the answers, and they're right 100% of the time. So let's go to the Word of God. And as we think about this evening, you know what God's told you to do. You know what Jesus has told you to do. And if you're here tonight and you are not a Christian, Cody, how do I know if I'm a Christian? Have you been born again? Because the Bible tells me that if you have not been born again, that you cannot go to heaven. And that born again that it's talking about is baptism. You've heard about God. You've heard about Jesus as the Son of God. You've chosen to believe those things. After you believe those things, you know you can't keep living the same way. You've got to repent. You've got to change. Turn your life around. Stop living for yourself. Stop living in sin and turn to God and start living for Him and living for other people. And you understand then that you must confess that you do truly believe He is the Son of God, both verbally and then with your actions when you leave this building this evening. And at that moment, you can finally be born again. Not physically, but spiritually. You can leave tonight knowing that you have been added to the greatest body ever, and that is the body of believers, the church. You've been added to the one true vine, the one source of nutrients of life, and that's Jesus Christ. If you have not become a Christian, please don't put it off any longer, because I don't know how long you have, and I don't know how long I have, but I know we have right now. So let's make those things right. If you're here this evening and you have done that, but you've chosen to continue living in the same way, you've neglected you know to be true. You, as we talked about in class this evening, have fallen because of your neglect of constantly seeking answers from the Word of God. You've asked questions, but you're going to people for answers. You've asked questions, but maybe you're not even asking the right questions. And so I challenge you to remember that God's Word is final, and God's Word is the authority, and God's Word is where we need to go for those answers. So this evening, if you have any need, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.
This message has been brought to you by the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. For questions, comments, prayers, or Bible study, please call, mail, or email us, or visit us on the internet at scenichillschurchofchrist.org. God bless.